Last week we preached on, well, I was going to say we preached on the prodigal son. Well, we did kind of, sort of, almost a little bit, maybe, but then we kind of took a twist and we went into the older brother. Remember that last week? And if you didn't, if you weren't here, we don't have it on video yet. We haven't got our show up yet on YouTube, but you know what? We're still on doing audio podcasts, so that'll be posted, so listen to it. And I just want to read that one little scripture about what God was saying last week. And it's Luke 15, and it's the story of the prodigal son. And this is so fitting for the testimonies that we're going to hear today. Somebody say amen. Yeah. So at the very, very end, you know the story. The prodigal has come home. The older brother is religious and uptight and ornery, and he doesn't want to celebrate. And the father pleads with the older son, and he's like, oh, please, son, please love what's happening. And I'll tell you why, older son, because your younger brother. He said, oh, my son, the father said, listen to me. You are always with me. And older son, everything I have is yours. Whew. But you got to celebrate and be glad. You got to. I'll tell you why. Because your younger brother, that younger brother of yours was dead, but now is alive, was lost, but now is found. Oh, come on. Come on. He was dead, but now is alive. Was blind, but now he sees. Wait, I hear a song coming. I hear a song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Come on, I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Is that your story today? Were you blind? Do you see now? Were you lost? Are you found now? That's the story. Celebrate with me today, church. That's our story. And doesn't matter if you're a prodigal, doesn't matter if you're religious, doesn't matter if you're rebellious. You come to your senses and Jesus can change your life. Hallelujah. Now, this is what we've found. This is what Revelation 12:11 says. And they were defeated. And they defeated him, that's the enemy, that's Satan. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. They did not love their lives so much that they're not afraid to die. In other words, they had their priorities right. Their life was not their own. Their life was now Jesus Christ. They had given their lives to Jesus, and it didn't matter, live or die. It was gain for them because Christ. Now, this is Revelation 12:11. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for simple? This is Revelation 12:11. We defeat the enemy because of what Jesus did for us and by us telling people about it. Oh, just take that on right now. Just hear that right now. I'm going to say it again. We defeat the enemy. We've already defeated the enemy because of what Jesus did. And by us telling people what Jesus did in us. And we're going to hear some of those stories today. Hallelujah. Jesus did it. And it's us telling people that Jesus did it in us. Now, this week, I shared on YouTube, this past Friday, an actual construct of a personal testimony. And if you've never made a personal testimony of your own life, your own journey, it's super, super easy. In fact, just go to YouTube AB, which would be Alberta, our Emerge Church AB. And we just did a brief little teaching on Friday in reference to what it is to give your testimony. And it's found, actually, Paul did it himself, and it was found in Acts 26. So our story is about God working in us, or God working through us. And that personal story of Paul, where he actually shared what his life was like before Jesus, what happened at his conversion, and what is life like now. And then the story of Jesus using Paul for the rest of his life. And, you know, when we share our testimony, it's a fluid testimony. It's a liquid testimony. Our testimony is always changing because we're learning and growing. Come on. Isn't that true? Every day. Your testimony this year is different than your testimony last year. Your testimony next year is going to be different than your testimony this year because we're always learning, we're always growing, we're all experiencing more things from God every single day. More revelation of His goodness comes to us all the time if we're willing. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Now, I like what Paul said. He alluded to this. He shared this many, many times. And this is what he said. A great door of effective work has been opened to me. This is what Paul said oftentimes when he was ministering. A great door of effective work has been opened to me. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. We want to get to our testimonies, but I just want to read this one scripture. Is there a great door of effective work happening in your life? Is there? At your job? At your witnessing to neighbors? Witnessing, praying for your family? Is an effective door open for you in your life? Despite the many who oppose me. And I got good news for you. If you're doing great things for God, you've got an enemy that's kicking up a stink. But somebody say, greater is Jesus in you than he that's in the world. When you got Jesus, he's bigger than anything. Oh, hallelujah. And then finally, this one scripture, and then I'll get to the testimonies. This is way cool. Now, and it's Luke 10, 1 to 4. Luke 10, 1 to 4. This is, again, great work that was happening, even amongst the disciples. This is even long before Paul got saved. This is what Jesus was doing with his own disciples, and we're reading it here. He sent out his 72, and we read, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two. Interesting that that's what the Bible says. He sent them out two by two, again, to pray for each other, to protect one another, to have accountability one with another. In every town and place where they were about to go, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. And I got good news, church. We are the workers in the harvest field. And I wish I was bolder. I wish it was bolder there. But there's that one word that's said over 400 times in the Bible. Go! 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 Go, love on people. Give me away. I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or a sandal. Do not greet anyone on the road. Why would he say that? I just put here a little note. Don't trust your resources, trust me, and don't get distracted. Next one. The next verse is Luke 10, 5 to 9. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return back to you. Isn't that interesting? Stay there, eat and drink whatever they give you, for a worker deserves his wages. And I just put a little note here. They should take care of you, those people that you're in their home. They should take care of you because you're doing the work. And don't be a picky eater. I have no problem with that. I can eat anything that doesn't fight back. But then there's other people, Tammy. Yeah, there's other people that maybe do not move around from house to house. Again, don't be distracted. When you enter a house, you are welcome. Eat what's offered you. Again, don't be a picky eater. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. This church, this family, these ambassadors, you go and you heal the sick. You go and share about how Jesus is great. You do the work and watch the miracles start. Somebody say, oh, yeah. Yeah, baby. Where did that come from? Okay. And then the last verse. Are you ready, Clayton? Okay. Here we go. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me, and that's the Father. And now, this is it. This is just like us. I know, is there 72 in this room? And the 72 returned with joy, and they said, Jesus, even the demons submitted to us in your name. Like, it's like, whoa, dude. He replied, this is what Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and that's your authority, church. And to overcome all the powers of the enemy, that's your authority, church. Nothing will harm you, not even COVID. However, and this is a weird, awkward sentence. Doesn't make any sense, you think. However, all that's great, but however, don't rejoice that spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Why would he say that? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you why. Oh, I got to move. Okay. I'll tell you why. Number one, remember your priorities. Thank God that you're saved. Thank God that he's changed your life. Keep first things first. Your salvation is everything. Thank God that he reached down and saved your life. And none of this, none of the work we would do would be possible if he didn't save you. And your identity is not based on what you do. Identity is based on who you are, and that you've been loved by God. You've been saved by God. He's saved your soul. He's done surgery on you, and he's your best friend. Woo! This is good news. This is good news. That's why we get excited. So remember, keep your priorities right. Remember that he loves you and saved you, and just do the work of God. Don't get proud about it. Just do the work of God. Now, let's start the testimonies. Here we go. Remember I said back about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I said, we're going to hear incredible testimonies of God doing incredible stuff in COVID-19. Do you remember me saying that? I was in my office with a little cell phone in front of me, and I'm trying to preach in front of a cell phone, and I'm nervous and anxious because I like people. So I'm in this static, empty room trying to be animated. And no, Dion, I had my pants on. I didn't have pajamas on. He wanted to see if I was wearing pajamas because, of course, we had to do it at home. And I said, we're going to hear testimonies of what God is doing. And then it wasn't 2 weeks later, and I get a testimony from one of my youth way back from 20 years ago, one of my youth from Belleville. And he got on Facebook and he shared his testimony. Roger Dutrasack. Come on, Jen. Roger Dutrasack. He shared this story. And he allowed me to read it today. So I'm going to read it. Hey, Tammy, I just wanted to share with Todd, but I know that he's not on Facebook, so I'll share with you. Stop it. I know that he would like to know that I have returned from my prodigal hiatus and have returned my life back to Jesus. Come on! In the new year, my wife had a very, very dark period. After having our third daughter, and myself and Brianna felt like that Jesus was the answer, and he was the only one that could take us out of the darkness. Oh, come on, come on, come on. So through some prayers and the willingness to pursue something so unknown in my life, we decided to attend Desert Stream, and there she accepted Jesus Christ into her life. Come on, somebody say amen. Although COVID hasn't made it easy, our family's life is forever changed from the seed sown in your youth group. Thank you for your prayers all these years. God bless you. Thank you for being great youth pastors. Your friend, Roger Dutrasack. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Shoo. Clayton, would you get over here, please? Can we welcome Clayton this morning? Woo! We'll patch it over. There we are. Let's make sure this thing's on. I'll just get it.
Good.
Okay, here you go.
What? This is your show. I'm just here. Hi, welcome. How is everyone doing today? My name's Clayton. We got to get everything in order again. One sec. Let's start with one. Hi, my name's Clayton. I'm 36 days sober today in 15 years and 36 days closer to God. Yes. Praise Jesus. All right. I'd just like to recap a little bit. Pastor Todd did this earlier already. And that was, you know, last week's testimony or scripture was on the prodigal son. I thought that was very fitting for myself because I definitely lived the life of the prodigal son for a while. All right, I've been asked to share my testimony today, and I kind of chose the topic spiritual awakening because spiritual awakening for me is when God, those moments in life when God came and was watching over you and those shock moments in life. I call them God shots, a spiritual awakening, right? Okay, so about me. I was born in BC at Vancouver Children's Hospital, weighing 1 pound, 12 ounces. I was born at 26 weeks into pregnancy. That's 3 months early due to my mom was on drugs and alcohol. I had a grade 3 cranial bleed, and the doctors didn't think I was going to make it. My mom abandoned me. The doctors performed surgery, didn't think I was going to make it. They left me in an incubator for 3 months. They didn't even assign a nurse to me because they didn't think I was going to make it. I next got, 3 months later, I got adopted by a beautiful parents there, Eva and Dennis Wahosky. At top left is me at 3 months coming home for the first time after being in the incubator for 3 months. That's the middle pictures of me and my nephew and my sister to the left. My sister is my half-sister. We're blood related. My brother, bottom right-hand corner. Again, just adopted into an amazing family and amazing people and a family of God. All right, I want to talk today about addiction a little bit. I dropped out of school to become a nightclub DJ in grade 11. Lived life like the prodigal son, 2020. Hooked on drugs and alcohol for 13 years. I met the devil in 2017. I started doing opiates. I left my family and everyone's support networks, everyone who loved me, and headed for Vancouver. My addiction led me to the streets of Vancouver, including East Hastings, where they say that's where addicts go to die, consuming $600 a day in opiates. I woke up in the hospital 2 times. Both times the doctor realized, wow, you must have a guardian angel. You shouldn't be alive. That's a spiritual awakening if you ask me. And then I did that for about a year. I didn't talk to my family at all. And then, you know, that voice again. You know, I was sick on the streets of Vancouver, and I saw a payphone, and I decided to call my mother. Again, that was God. My mom, I was expecting her to be a little angry, but she wasn't. The first thing she said to me is, do you want to come home? And it was amazing. I said, yes, I did. But I asked for money, too. So I ended up going back out. My mom said, call me at noon, because she asked if I could fly. I was in no shape to fly on an airplane at this time because my addiction had taken me down so bad they wouldn't let me on a plane. So my mom said, call me at noon, and I said, okay, I will. And off I went, and then the next thing I know, I'm back in my addiction. Well, meanwhile, I'm out doing my thing, and my sister, I guess my mom called my sister. So I'd like to read a quick testimony from my sister of the experience of Vancouver. It's called So Happy You Are Home. I got the call to get you. This time I didn't hesitate because I told you when you are done, I will come and get you. Mom called and told me what was said. I was excited and scared all at the same moment. I wanted to tell myself, this is stupid. Why drive all this way? because he asked, because I believe him. My heart is happy. The emotional roller coaster ride, the bumpy road, the whatever you want to call it is ending. No expectation plays over and over. The drive seems like forever. The search seems hopeless. Like again, I didn't tell him where I was. There's 1.1 million people in Vancouver. I just went off and continued to do my thing. Remember that through this story, please. So many times I just gave up. As many times as I gave up, Jay told me no. That's my sister's husband. Jason went and talked to this guy named Rick. He was homeless. So kind, so sweet. Jay took me to him. As I approached him and introduced myself, he said, oh, you're the sister. He talks about you and your mom all the time. The conversation ended. And he told me if he saw him, he would tell him. Jason nicknamed him Greasy Jesus. His eyes were the most beautiful blue, his smile contagious. At one point, he laughed at me and told me he taught me something. I wish I would have gone back and thanked him that day before leaving. After 6 long, intense hours of searching, Mom called, told me that I had called her, and to tell Rick, Mom called and told me he had called her to tell me Rick had told him I was at Walmart and to go back. So out of 1.1 million people, God spoke through Rick to find me, to find my sister. Come on, that's amazing. I was, my sister, I was insanely happy. I think I looked like a freak, frantically trying to get my words out to Jay that he was coming to us. After about 45 minutes, Jason saw you come around the corner and you wave, a scared wave, a tiny unsure wave. As my husband motions for you to come with two arms waving, a huge smile on his face, I felt this wave of emotion. The emotion that hits you so hard you have no emotion. The emotion that makes you motionless, frozen in time. I can't recognize you, but your smile and excitement reassures me it's you. I hold and fight the tears. This is not the time to break down. This is the time to breathe. He is in your arms. He is alive. He is safe. Pray for my brother. Pray for all those in addictions. They are somebody. I won't support the addiction, but I'll be there when you pick yourself up and see what you have to offer the world. I wish I could show you through your eyes your worth. When you decide you will fight for you, I will help. I think he is stronger than he thinks. I think he's matured in ways he shouldn't have. I think whatever wild ride he was on was a way of finding himself and was necessary. Logan wanted to come see you, Uncle, and this is why I think they both need it. Okay? That's for my sister. Now, you think that was my rock bottom. Nope. Still wasn't buying into it. It was definitely not for me. So I get back from Vancouver. I go to a treatment center. My parents say, I think you should move to Alberta. There's this older gentleman, Daryl, that you should go live with. You should go. Hi, Daryl. Sorry, you're not old. You're just a gray-haired guy you should go live with. And I was like, you're crazy. You want me to give up my everything I have right now, move to Alberta with this random dude, and go to treatment for a year and get sober. You're crazy. Nope, wasn't happening. So I tried, you know what, but I didn't give up, right? I still knew that I could, I didn't know. I thought I knew I could fix my addiction on my own with the help of, you know, treatment centers, etc. I tried cleaning up, went to treatment. Coming off opiates was so bad, I was hospitalized for seizures and uncontrollable blood pressure. They put me on pharmaceutical drugs because they thought I might die if I didn't. And I realized I needed God to fill those voids. But at this time, I just couldn't accept it. I filled those voids with money, women, possessions. I went, what did that cause me to do? Go back out again. 7 more months I went out. That's when I truly believe that God said enough is enough. It's time to show Clayton it's time to come home. Roughly only 43 days ago, I was dead for 21 minutes, according to the paramedics. I OD'd. I was given 18 shots of Narcan, intense CPR, breaking 3 of my ribs. Meanwhile, while they were doing that stuff, I was having a little chat with the father upstairs. And you know what? And I saw the light. And it was saying, not your time. Not your time. I didn't understand that. I couldn't believe it. I woke up there paddling me on a cold metal table. And I was mad and upset, but I just couldn't understand or fathom what I just saw. So again, I get out of the hospital. What do? I go back out for another 7 days. Right? Let me get myself here. Then God came to me again. So this is a week after. I'm laying in bed, having a good time. And God comes to me again. Get up, go to Daryl's, is this voice I get. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And then the voice again. Get up, go to Daryl's. I'm like, fine, you win. I just couldn't ignore that annoying Morgan Freeman God voice anymore. It kept repeating itself. I made the call to mother. I want to go to Daryl's. I think my mom had been waiting for that call for the last 3 years again. 3 years. And again, God has had his hand over me. Because not even 24 hours after I made that call, I was kidnapped and held for ransom. 48 hours later, I was released. And if it wasn't for God, like, wow. That's all I have to say about that. The real journey began. My sister picked me up at midnight, drove me to Daryl's in Alberta. By the time I arrived, I was now so sick coming off opiates. Again, I thought I was going to die. 24 hours in, I couldn't take it anymore. I was ready to give up, throw in the towel. The muscle spasms were so bad, I couldn't even control my own body. And Daryl came into the room. He could see I was ready to give up, and I couldn't do it alone. But I wasn't alone, because that's when we both bowed our heads in prayer and brought the Heavenly Father back into my life. And let me tell you, the spiritual awakening I had was beyond words. It's like God himself climbed into bed with me and never left my side. I detoxed for 96 hours, couldn't sleep, praying every 4 hours, if not more. God allowed me to cold turkey, no hospital visits, no seizures, just his loving arms wrapped around me. I look back today, and there is something very important I've learned, that anything is possible in life as long as you have God in your life and you are following in his footsteps. There is a poem I'd like to read to you, followed by a couple Bible verses that stood out to me through these times I went through in my life. The poem's called Footprints in the Sand. One night, I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there was two sets of footprints, other times there was only one. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, and defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I've noticed during the most trying periods of my life that there's only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you the most, have you not been there for me?" The Lord replied, "My precious child, I love you. I would never leave you during your times of trial and suffering. When you see only one set of footprints in the sand, I carried you." Right? And I truly believe that. I believe God carried me through all of that. All right, next I'm going to read to you Psalms 139, 13 through 16. "For you were created in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Right? So that for me, right from the birth, being born 1 pound, 12 ounces, and felt abandoned. I wasn't abandoned. God was there the whole entire time. And then God took care of me. And what are the chances? There's no chances because it's God. I got put into a Christian home, adopted into a loving family. And that verse spoke volumes to me. All right, I'll speed it up. Sorry, Todd. One last verse we have. It's Titus 3, verse 5. "He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit." All right? And that sums up everything of my whole existence there, to be honest. You know, it didn't matter what road I went down, what I did, God was always there, and he forgave me. The biggest thing that I had problems with, every time I tried to sober up, every time I tried to clean up and do it on my own, I lived in guilt, shame, and remorse for the things I've done. But what I realized is it's a Heavenly Father. He forgives. He's the one that you look to. He's the one who will forgive you for everything or anything that you think you've done that is unforgivable. And he forgives you and washes away your sins, and you have a new life. You don't have to live in guilt, shame, and remorse anymore. And that's what I learned. Thank you very much for your time, guys.
Stay right there. Right there. Stay right there. Stand with me, church.
Thank you. Thank God.
Tammy, get him on up here. Is this Jesus? Can we pray together? Let's just pray together. I know you're down there, but let's just wrap our arms just in the sense of let's just wrap our arms. Put your hands forward and let's just thank Jesus. Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Lord, thank you that you're still in the business. In July 2020, you're still in the business of saving lives. You're still in the business of doing surgery on our hearts and being a best friend to our soul. And thank you, Lord, for being so good. And Father, thank you that there's many, 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 many in the queue that are ready, that are we're going to hear the stories of transformation, of exaltation. We're going to hear the stories of Jesus changing people. And thank you that you're doing it here in Sylvan. You're doing it all over the world. You're doing it in Central Alberta. You're doing it all over Canada. You're doing it all over North America. And you're doing it all over this world. And we knew, Jesus, that Romans 8:28 was a promise from you that you're going to turn this thing around. And you're going to use this for your glory. You're going to use the poison of this isolation and pandemic. You're going to use it for your glory. And we're just beginning to see the miracles of what God is doing and will do. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And Father, we're asking that you keep and protect Clayton, Lord.
Yes, yes.
Because he shared and we already know that we defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Yeah. And that's how we defeat him. So protect him today, Dad. Protect him, we pray. And thank you, Jesus, that he's going to give you away for the rest of his life. He's going to share Jesus for the rest of his life. In Jesus' name. Oh.
I just want to pray. I know there's some of you out there that may have a prodigal son, a prodigal friend, brother, whoever it is. And Clayton represents the before and after. And I want to pray for just maybe people in your life that are running from God, that don't know him yet.
Come on, church.
So Jesus, I thank you for Clayton. I thank you for his life. I thank you for what you have done in and through him today. Jesus, that this is just the beginning for him.
Yeah.
That you have great things in store for him. And Lord, protect his heart, protect his mind, protect his body. That there would be no ill effects from all of the stuff that has gone into his body. Heart. Protect his, yes, his heart, his physical heart, his body, Lord, that you would redeem everything that has been stolen from him in his 36 years. God, that he is a brand new creation in you. So we just bless him today. We speak life over him. And Lord, for all the ones that represent this family, I just pray that you would just raise your hand if you have someone in your life that needs to know Jesus, that is a prodigal son. Yes, yes. And I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to them right now wherever they are. Lord, wherever they are, just from Clayton's words, you are with them in hell. You are with them in the midst of the midst of their pain, their addictions, their denial. You are with them. So, Lord, I pray that you go to each one right now.
Right now.
Right now. And you know who they are, Lord. You know who they are. You know them by name. You know them intimately. You know where they are, even if we don't. I pray, God, that you would speak to them. If they have never even heard of you before, that you would go to them right now and that you would speak to them where they're at right now, wherever they are. Lord, you promise that you would never leave us, you would never forsake us, that you are with us in the depths of hell. You are with us in the top of the mountain. Yep. You are with us. And just like what Clayton read in Psalms 139, you know us intimately. Yeah. You knew us before we were born. You knew everything about us. So God, I pray that you would redeem and you would call them back. Yes, we call forth.
Woo!
We call them back.
Yes.
We call every prodigal son back. We call everybody that is blind. We ask that you give them eyes to see you and ears to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Thank you.
Woo!
I'll have a seat for a bit.
Isn't this good, church? You didn't know you were going to have a time here at church today, did you?
Yeah, you did. Okay, Jen, come on up here. We got one more for you. Now, you know, the message I said was God works to us and God works through us. See, that's a testimony. God works to us, the testimony of God reaching us. And now it's the testimony of God working through us. Come on up here. Will it? Hey? Yeah, I guess, sure. Yeah, we'll grab that. Here, no. Just grab the mic. Come on up here. Hey? Oh. We just have to be COVID sensitive here.
Sorry, I'm touching it.
No, so much for that.
That's okay.
Okay. Wow.
We have the picture or not?
Right there.
Oh, there it is. Amen.
That's my buddy, Dennis. Clayton, first of all, where are you, buddy? As a sister in Christ, welcome home.
Yeah, come on.
We love you. You're in for a ride. Okay. I'm sorry if I get emotional.
Yeah. That's okay.
It's been a time. A good time. I have journeyed with Jesus for pretty much my whole 46 years, where I don't have a testimony of definitive time when I was saved necessarily, but my testimony is one of being kept by his grace and mercy through the years. I have known him as a father and friend, and I strive to keep close to him so that my purpose as an intercessor in him can be truly active and be a help to his kids along the way. And this is where my buddy comes in. Last September, I was reconnected with a dear friend of mine named Dennis from back in our teens who lives close to Belleville. We reconnected after a few years, just days after he was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer at the age of 46. Walking this journey beside him has been a true blessing. To be able, with Holy Spirit's help, to minister to him and his heart, and having precious time to have heart-to-heart chats about the condition of his soul. He has since made things right with God, securing where he will spend eternity. A couple of weeks ago, we got news that he only has a couple weeks left before his home going. And that was a couple weeks ago, so you know where he's heading. The cancer has only grown and spread rapidly, as none of the several treatments he's been given has worked. So again, I went to my knees. Jesus, out of love and comfort, showed me a vision, and this is what I documented. In praying for Dennis this afternoon, part of the prayer I asked was that God would send his angels and my warring angels to minister to him and guard him and his house during this part of his journey. In the spirit, I was immediately shown inside of his home. There were big angels standing everywhere, just kind of hanging out. No specific role except their presence, just being there. Some of them leaning up against walls, just chatting with each other, definitely in a waiting posture. Then I was shown his bed where he was laying resting. There were angels of the same size standing around it in a circle, two of them sitting on each side of the bed, actually touching him, laying a hand on his leg or hand and occasionally the top of his head. The atmosphere was very nurturing and comforting. And when he would get up to go somewhere, those two angels, one on each side, would go with him. They are guarding him to make sure he is physically safe. The other angels remain around the bed. I was shown outside the band of huge angels that were circling the house, facing outward, shoulder to shoulder, guarding. Knowing that they have taken up residence brought an unexplainable peace that entered my heart at that moment, so pure and thick. After I rested in the dimension I was in, and full of thankfulness, I wept. Not out of sadness, but out of awe of the knowledge of God's love for Dennis, and the knowledge that my friend is safe. I picked up my phone as I wanted to document this vision, and I opened a notes file. Something caught my eye. The scripture I had many months ago, even before this journey began, recorded, not even knowing why at the time, or even remember noting it. It all just glued together a confirmation of the vision I saw. And the scripture is Psalm 91. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart, for he will command his angels concerning you and guide you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike a foot against the stone. He will call on me and I will answer him. He will be with him in trouble. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. In wrapping up, I wonder, are you seeking Jesus for an answer today? Throughout the past months, he has reminded me of these truths that I want to encourage you with. Remember that he knows what is needed, and his timing is absolutely perfect. He is truly closer than you can imagine, no matter what is going on in your world or around you. Even though you can't see his plan or always understand his will, spending time with him in prayer at his feet will give you the ability in the hard times to get through it, because you will know his heart. So continue to seek his face, spend time with him. You never know what he desires to show you in those precious times, for he is faithful and he always hears you.